Politicians have been calling for changes in the military health system for years. With Congress coming back later this month, some changes might actually take place. Retired Navy Vice Admiral Michael Cowan is the former chief naval surgeon overseeing 42,000 people in 42 facilities. Now executive director of the Association of Federal Healthcare Professionals, Cowan tells Federal News Radio Scott Mossioni what he thinks might be in store for healthcare in the next Congress.
If you look at the political climate, it's very difficult. The one thing we know about this upcoming election is that half the country is going to be very unhappy with whoever gets elected. We know that Congress has been very much stalemated, and there's no reason to think that's going to change. We know that the defense budget will be under pressure, and sequestration comes back. So military medicine is working in a very difficult time. But what they've aimed themselves at is really kind of raising the bar. We've finished 15 years of war recently. People are returning from their deployments. And the system is beginning to stabilize. And over the last couple of years, they have embarked in the biggest change in how the business of military health is done ever by creating the DHA, the Defense Health Agency.
Right.
The DHA brings together the services in the military treatment facilities, the brick-and-mortar facilities, and allows them to leverage their size, basically, and gets rid of these unintended conflicts within the services that prevent the system from being efficient. So Vice Admiral Bono, who's in charge of that now, I believe is making tremendous progress. They're implementing features of a high reliability organization, a huge contract for the next upgrade for information technology is now underway. And so it's a very exciting and interesting time, but it's like being exciting and interesting in a pressure cooker. The financial and political pressures on them are difficult, and I think they're doing extremely well under their circumstances.
Right. Now, when it comes to the soldiers and sailors and Marines themselves, what do you think that they're seeing and noticing when it comes to the care that they're receiving as this change kind of happens and as this political climate is, you know, under this pressure cooker?
The quality of the care has always been very good. 2 years ago, the Defense Department commissioned a study to compare military health facilities against the best facilities in the country. And they were right there. They were up in one area, down in another area, but in every area, excellent. So the care that's given by the system has always been good. The complexity of the system makes access, so referrals and appointing and those sorts of things, difficult. And that difficulty was exacerbated by the three services running parallel organizations. It wasn't anybody's fault. It's just the nature of an organization. Now with the DHA, they are in the process of streamlining those sorts of things, and that's one of the very important things that the DHA brings. They can have one set of ways of doing things in a particular area that everybody does. It makes it lots easier. So what I think we are seeing is people will notice over time that those little hassles, those little inconveniences, that extra signature, the bumps in administrating healthcare are going to smooth out tremendously. And I think we see that already.
Right. Now, what do you see kind of the biggest barriers to access for our service members and kind of the most clunky parts for our service members at this point compared to, say, a private provider?
First of all, I wouldn't say there are barriers. Really, overall, the access time for virtually all of our facilities meets or exceeds anybody's expectations. They do very well. Not to say that there aren't problems that arise, but they're dealt with. And so barriers to care, I just wouldn't say that. It is red tapey sometimes. And that was what I was just alluding to earlier. There are too many processes, too many signatures that need to be signed, too many different ways of doing things, too many difficulties making handoffs from, say, a military facility to a local hospital or a local provider. And that's what they're working on. And that's what we are seeing, I believe, being slowly eliminated.
Right. Now, you and I have talked about this before, which is Congress is thinking about adding some fees to TRICARE for TRICARE active duty member families. I just wanted to get your opinion on that and where that might take TRICARE in its quest to bring down its budget, and if you think it might be the best way to do that.
The addition of fees that I have seen are, in my view, simply cost-shifting. Fees and copays can be constructed to affect patient behavior, to put some patient skin in the game. And so things are not just entirely free, and sometimes patients will think a little about whether they really need something or not. The fees that are being proposed right now, I don't see in that light. I think they are just simply ways of driving the costs of TRICARE down. And frankly, I think that TRICARE gets a bad rap. There have been increases in the cost of TRICARE, but they have mostly been due to increased number of beneficiary categories and increased numbers of benefits. Over a decade, not a year went by without some new benefit and some additional category of beneficiaries was added by Congress. And they did that because they were grateful to the soldiers and sailors and airmen and Marines, and they wanted to show that. But that accumulation of services is what drove the cost up. Mm-hmm. If you look at the per capita cost of delivering TRICARE, it's really very comparable to the private sector. In fact, I've seen data that shows that it beats medical inflation. So it's better than the private sector.
So for you, at least, the increase in budget doesn't seem to be anything that has to do with waste, but more just an increase in benefits. So there's, are there any places that the TRICARE or even the military treatment facilities can reduce costs or find, you know, duplications that they can get rid of?
You bet. And they are working that. Military treatment facilities are not as efficient in terms of cost per visit as a civilian facility. But it's not that simple. Military facilities exist as a rotational and educational foundation for readiness. And so those uniformed doctors have two jobs. One is seeing the patients in front of them, and the other is doing the things that they need to do to have a readily deployed force. The United States of America has made the decision that we're not going to go into a sudden conflict somewhere and let the first 2 or 3 or 4 weeks of casualties die because we're not ready with a force right alongside them when they first walk into the field of battle.
Former Chief Navy Surgeon Dr. Michael Cowan speaking with Federal News Radio Scott Massioni. Follow Scott's coverage at federalnewsradio.com.